Out here.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day.
Where about up north are you from?
Originally from Wisconsin. And then we lived in central Missouri for a while, but now we're full-time van dwellers. That's our camper van right there. We're full-time travelers.
Okay.
And we travel the country all over, so we've been down in Florida most of the winter, and we're headed north.
Okay.
And
big difference in the winter down here than up there.
Yeah. Well, here, I came out to give you this. I'm supposed to give you this.
Okay.
I'm a traveling street preacher.
Okay.
That's why we go to Florida. I'm not down there on vacation. We go to Florida because in wintertime up in Wisconsin or Missouri, everybody's inside. It's cold. Right. It's icy. Down in Florida,
everyone's out.
You can't throw a stick on the weekend without hitting an art festival, a farmer's market.
Yeah.
So we go down there and we live and we preach.
Okay.
Preach all winter. But I wanted to come and share with you the gospel to eternal life.
Good.
There's a narrow path to eternal life. Most Americans are caught up in either their own way. Atheism, New Ageism, I believe God my own way, and they discount what Jesus did, or they're caught up in the church systems.
Exactly.
And the church systems are not of God. Both of them are not of God because they've taught a lot of corruption. They weren't invented by God. So as a street preacher, I do a prophet's job. I'm not a prophet, but I do a prophet's job, and that is the prophets were told to go into the world, proclaim the good news, call people to repentance, and most times they're hated for it. Because the world and the church systems are opposed to the real truth of God.
Exactly.
And so because of Christ's work and his shed blood and his resurrection, we go into the world to call people to repentance. And the good news is, I used to be a worldly man. My wife was a worldly woman. We had to repent. And when people repent, God does an amazing thing. He gives you a new heart and a new mind.
Right.
He changes your desires. We go to a lot of festivals. We just preached at the Azalea Festival in Valdosta. And I met a lot of Christians telling me they have the Spirit of God, they have the truth of God, they're born again. But yet they're worldly.
Right.
They don't care about the things of God. Their life hasn't been transformed. And Jesus said, we know a tree by its fruit.
By the fruit is bear.
Yeah, so we can test our lives and go, what are we living for? How do we live, act, talk, dress? What are we seeking? How do we spend our money? How do we spend our time? Are we watching Netflix?
Right.
Or are we seeking the kingdom of God?
Right.
And through all of that, if people will just endure in Christ and all of that, they will have the hope of eternal life to come. Jesus said an interesting thing. In Matthew 7, he said, few are going to find eternal life. Most people think almost everybody's going to get there except
right.
Adolf Hitler or some mass right. murders. Jesus actually said few
yeah.
are going to get there. And you know what that word in English, few, you know what in Greek, it means few, but it also in English, it means puny. A puny number of people yeah. are going to find eternal life. That includes anybody you know that goes to the church systems. In fact, they may be the hardest ones to get to the kingdom of God. I witnessed to the drug addicts in the gutter. What's your first name?
Joe.
I'm James. I witnessed to the homeless guys in the gutter. I'm not kidding you when I tell you, their heart is closer to the kingdom of God than the religious guy in the building that thinks he's something. And I see it over and over again. I'm not saying they're going to go to heaven unless they repent. They're not going to enter the kingdom. But Jesus said it. The publican and the Pharisee. The publican is laying in the gutter, says, Lord, forgive him, a sinner like me. The Pharisee says, I tithe and I go to church and I thank God I'm not like all of them. He had self-righteousness. So that's what I go into the world to do. And I saw you over fishing. I used to be a fisherman. Now Jesus sent me out in the world to be a fisher of men. Yeah, so you know the word of God a little bit, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. So I have a website if you go online.
Okay.
Don'tperish.com.
Okay.
And it teaches people how to follow after Christ according to God's word. I don't have no truth. I just got the scriptures and I hold fast to it. We don't take people's money. We don't want people's money. We don't want people to come and follow us. What we want people to do is open the scriptures, test their life, ask themselves, has I ever come to a place in my life where I have really been born again? Not some emotional music, not lifting your hand, saying a prayer, not going to a church service. My life has been transformed by the truth of God's word and my desires, my heart, my core has changed, and that's changed everything about me. And that's
right.
what we ask people to do.
Right.
And our website is there to help encourage people.
Tell me this, what do you think about tithing?
Tithing? I have a teaching on it in the New Testament, on my teaching blog. It's in the Old Testament, and it was God's way to support the temple system, and it was God's way to support the priest system. In Israel.
Right.
We don't see the tithe anywhere in the New Testament other than in the Gospels, Jesus, who was a Jew, he was keeping all of Torah. He was involved in the temple system. He was involved in the tithing system. So for Torah people, Israelites, I'm not a Torah person. Mm-hmm. For the Israelites, the tithe was, you know what it was, Joe? It was bags of groceries and produce the temple system to support the poor and the priests. Poor,
yeah.
What have preachers today turned it into?
Money taking. That's what the entire church system
Amen.
Is about.
Amen.
It's about money.
It's about money, sir. Exactly. And that's why we reject it. Jesus turned over tables in John 2.
Yes, he did.
Because people were selling the things of God. So I refuse. I will never sell it. We don't take money. We don't want money. I'll never sell anything on my website. Men are selling t-shirts and books and bumper stickers and hats and crosses. What we need to be doing is preaching the gospel I just shared with you and be less involved in money. Now, if they followed the New Testament system, you don't need a building. You can meet in homes. Look at you and I. We can meet on this park place.
My church is in here.
Well, that's true. That's true. You can believe in God and follow Him.
Yes.
The key is that's true. You can be part of God anywhere because God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. But we also need to apply our lives to make sure that we're walking in His ways every day. And what I found in my life is when I repented and I said, God, my way don't work. Your way only. What I found is His Spirit led me to the Word.
Right.
And the Word, when you really study it, it causes you, ready? Easter's coming. You know, that's a pagan holiday.
Well, of course I do. God, Christmas and all this other
okay,
stuff.
Okay, yeah.
God of course I do.
God never ordained any of that, yet they all do it like it's some offering that God wants.
Sir-y.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
And Good Friday, and I always teach people, Good Friday and Easter are alive because Jesus said He'd be in the grave 3 days and three nights. Can you get 3 days and three nights from Friday night to Sunday morning?
I don't think so.
No, He died on Wednesday. He rose on Saturday. You know why He rose on Saturday, Joe? He's our Sabbath rest. He's our Sabbath rest. Hebrew 4 tells us that. So we keep the Ten Commandments today, but there's one that's been altered. All the rest of them are rock solid. There's one that's been altered. That's keeping the Sabbath. And how we keep the Sabbath today? We walk in Jesus. We're resting in His finished work. We're following the Messiah. He is our Sabbath. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He created the Sabbath to show us the archetype of Him to come. So that's what we teach.
There are so many explanations of everything in the Bible by different preachers. But the main thing that I am firm in is what the Word says.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely.
I mean, Jesus
said we live by every word out of the mouth of God.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've heard so many preachers that differ in scriptures. I'm looking at the Word.
Amen.
I like the language of the Bible.
Yeah, test all things.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
What
when you read the Bible, what version do you use?
I have a King James.
Yeah, that's a good version. I encourage people to read King James. New King James is okay. But you know what I really encourage people to do? Go to the actual Greek and Hebrew words, too.
Okay.
Because when you look, like, let me give you a good example. When you read the King James Bible and you read the word church, okay? When you think of a church in America, you think of a building, a religious system, a denomination, an organization. But the word in Greek is ekklesia or ecclesia. You know what it actually means? Called out ones. So when people say they're part of the Church of Christ, they should ask themselves, it means I'm called out. What have I been called out from? How has my life changed? Have I come out of the culture?
One of my friends is Church of Christ. I call him a Church of Christ, so he don't like that. But his church is the Church of Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has been trying to recruit me for I don't know how long.
Really?
You know, he can't understand that I don't want to be in that system over there.
Yeah. Yeah, the Church of Christ has some truth, and they have a lot of man-made traditions.
Now, what do you think about music in church?
Music? Wow, you're asking some good questions. I teach about all this on my teaching blog.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah, my teaching blog. Yeah, you go to go to don'tperish.com, click on the teaching blog.
Is it on the card?
It's on the card. Okay. I got thousands of articles.
Okay,
I've been doing this for many years.
Good.
But let me answer your question for you. We don't believe in instrumental music.
Okay.
We actually don't, because the New Testament does not have any instrumental music. And here's what I teach. In the Old Testament, no one had a circumcised heart.
Right.
The Holy Spirit hadn't come. All the men were being circumcised physically.
Yeah.
It was an archetype.
Exactly.
So what did they have to praise God with? Instruments.
Yes.
Trumpets.
And
horns.
And most people think that David, because of David, that's why I've heard so many people say music is okay in church because of David. David wasn't in the church.
He wasn't in the New Testament. Exactly.
No.
Exactly. That was all Old Testament. Here's the beautiful part everybody misses, and pastors don't teach us. And you know why? Because emotional instrumental music is a huge draw that makes money.
Thank you.
And the contemporary Christian music industry is a false, heretical, entertainment, flesh-based system. Here's the beautiful thing, ready? In the Old Testament, they didn't have a transformed heart. All they had was instruments to worship God.
Right.
In the New Testament, do you know who the instrument is? We are. Our hearts, it actually says that in Ephesians 4, that we, Paul says, that sing from your heart and from your lips and make a melody and a song, a noise unto God. We are now the instrument. The Holy Spirit is using us as the instrument. God don't want fleshly banging. Because here's the thing, ready? If you heard me a cappella sing right now, if my wife and I came over and you heard us a cappella sing to the Lord, I can promise you something. You are not going to feel like dancing, moving. Your spirit's going to move, and you're going to go, that's beautiful.
There's a spirit in music.
There's a spirit in that. Right. But now if we bring over drums, guitars, and organs, you're going to feel like moving around and dancing.
That's right.
The Bible says in Romans 8:8, we can't please God in the flesh. We please him in the spirit. So we don't believe instrumental music. We follow the model of the New Testament. We don't believe instrumental music is for the New Testament. We believe that we become the instrument. It's fleshly offering. Look at the music. In the Bible, most of the gatherings were a little bit of singing. Yeah, they sung a cappella with their voices.
Yeah.
There was some praying, but predominantly the meetings were proclaiming the word of God. What's happened today, Joe? Most places, it's more music now.
Exactly.
And it's more music and more ear tickling and then a little bit of a sermon and that's it.
Everything deviated from the word of God.
It did.
It did. What did they call that? Praise dance.
Yeah.
What is that?
What, can you imagine that? I can't believe this. So in the Old Testament, they say David danced. One time, when they were bringing the ark back from its exile, David whirled. It says he whirled. Ready, Joe? Here's me whirling. Whoa, I'm so happy. Woohoo! That's what he did one time. Now they say dancing. I can never figure this out. Grown men, elders, modern pastors will allow teenage girls to get on stage.
I'll agree.
And the church watches them dance.
I'll agree.
There is nothing spiritual in New Testament dancing. It's all of the flesh.
Now tell me this.
Yeah.
How much of the Old Testament do you live by, the Mosaic Law?
Okay. I already preached to you the Ten Commandments are the moral law for all of us, and every one of them are actually echoed in the New Testament. Every one of them. Except for Gentiles keeping Saturday Sabbath, we keep it in Christ. But we're still keeping all 10. So you're asking great questions. I preach this a lot. I preach the New Testament covenant, the blood covenant of Jesus Christ. I teach some pre-Torah law that came before Torah. And Torah, the 613 that were given for Israel with the temple system in Jerusalem with the priesthood, we can't keep that today. That wasn't given to us. You can eat pork if you want to, okay? I don't like pork, not for spiritual reasons. I just don't like pork. I don't eat a lot of meat anyway. But you can eat pork if you want to. Paul says all things are clean now. Don't judge each other. Here's the pre-Torah things we keep. Ready? Marriage. Did God ordain husband and wife in Genesis 1?
Yes.
He did. So we keep that. That's before Torah. Here's another one. Ready? In Genesis 3, Adam and Eve sinned. And you know what God did in Genesis 3? They put on little fig leaf aprons. God killed an animal. When you kill it, you shed its blood. The shedding of blood is an archetype, and God put us, you'll notice how I dress, God put us in tunic-like robe garments to cover us because we sin. Clothing is supposed to be a sin covering. What is the church system in the world made it? A fashion statement. Right? So Genesis 3, so we keep clothing. In Genesis 9, I think it is, God tells Noah, don't eat blood. And that's still kept today, and that's echoed in Acts 15. Tunic dress and robe dress is echoed for men and women all through the New Testament. Husband and wife marriage is echoed all through. And I actually have an article on that I just did, an audio. You can listen to it if you'd like, where I talk about what pre-Torah things we keep. So we do keep some pre-Torah things, but we cannot keep the Mosaic Law. Jesus said, it is finished.
Yes.
He fulfilled that perfectly for us. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, and there's some false groups around called Torah, called Hebrew Roots. A lot of people think I'm a Hebrew Root guy because I have a beard and I wear a tunic, and they think, oh, you're keeping Torah. And I go, no, I'm keeping the New Testament and some pre-Torah. They'll see my wife. She dresses very plain and in a dress with a head covering. Right. And they say, oh, you're keeping Old Testament. And I go, have you read 1 Corinthians 11? It's in the New Testament. Yeah. Yeah. So we find ourselves caught between the culture and the church system, because we're following the narrow road of truth, which is right down the middle, and everybody else outside of God's word, as you were saying, they've run into a ditch.
What about women preachers?
No. No women preachers. Now, if my wife was here, she would stand quietly and listen to you and I talk. If a woman walked up, she would share the gospel with a woman. If another man walked up, my wife would give her give him a gospel card, would right. begin to explain the basic things of the faith, and then she would say, you need to talk to my husband. What we believe about women is we believe women were used mightily of God. They were the first ones to tell of Jesus' resurrection. Priscilla and Aquila were an evangelistic team, but women can't take authority over men. They can't rebuke men, and women can't teach a believing man. So if you say you believe in Christ, my wife will never teach you. She would say, I divert you to my brothers or my husband. They'll teach you. And that's falling by the wayside because of feminism, Mary. You got lady pastors. You got lady elders.
Yes.
You have all types of this stuff going on. So what they're keeping in the church system today is a little bit of God's word and a lot of what tickles people's itchy ears. And the Bible, you probably know it enough. The Bible warns in the last days that there's going to be a great falling away. People won't stand for sound doctrine.
That's right.
Because the stuff you're really blessing me, because the stuff I'm preaching to you that you seem to respond to, most people hate it and they call me a legalist. They say, oh, you're keeping laws for your salvation. And I said, I could never earn my salvation. Christ had to finish it perfectly for me. I need his perfect righteousness. But the Bible says, if I have that in my heart, what will my life look like? Will I keep sin? Will I follow false ways? Will I lift up the word of God or man-made traditions? So it's a faith and works type of system that shows that you have the fruit of salvation in you. Does that make sense?
A tree is known by the fruit.
Amen. Amen. A tree is known by its fruit. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. So, yeah, I teach all about that. I have a lot of audios. My wife has a page.
I'm going to make sure I tune in with you when I get home.
Yeah, I add to it every single day. We travel the country. We're headed north. We're going to go to some more festivals in Georgia, and we'll work our way north.
Yeah.
And I sold everything I owned. I had a beautiful little homestead in Missouri, and the Lord put it on my heart, and I said, Lord, I have to go. And I sold it because I can't take it with me anyway.
Yeah.
How could I meet you sitting on my homestead in Missouri?
Couldn't.
Now, people find us on the internet, but we go out in the world to preach, and we want to find people and encourage them to open the scriptures, test everything, reject the culture, reject the church system. Jesus said in Mark 7, ready? This is so powerful. He told the Pharisees, the most religious people, the most moral people on the face of the earth, I believe, at the time of Jesus. He told them, you tell people to come in and wash their hands and with pots and cups and wash. He said, and other such things you do. He said, you worship God in vain for your keeping of man-made traditions. And you know, Joe, I stand in front of modern pastors. I'll go outside their religious buildings and preach peacefully. They come out to talk to me. I said, you're worshiping God in vain. They go, what do you mean we're worshiping God in vain? We love God. I said, where's Easter in the Bible? Where's Good Friday in the Bible? Where's Christmas in the Bible? Where's all your flashy music in the
That's
Bible?
Right.
Where's uncovered heads
That's
in the Bible?
Right.
Young men tell me they have to look at the ground because the teenage girls dress like harlots. Otherwise, they're lusting in the church buildings and the pastors are allowing it. I said, you're worshiping God in vain. And they just look at me and I go, go read Mark 7. So
I saw on a church marquee, Trump or tree.
Oh, yeah, they do that all the time, Joe.
Trump, they
mingle with Halloween all the time. How can you do this?
They
have not the spirit of God in them. They have not the spirit of God in them.
I don't get it.
Yeah, so I'm glad you see that. Stay away from the religious systems. Read and study your Bible. If you ever want a Bible study, you contact me. I'll Bible study with you. I'll encourage you in the Word of God. We can get on the phone and talk. We encourage people to get out of the culture. Ready? There's no hope for America. All these people that are patriots saying we got to vote Trump back in. There's no hope for America. There's hope for people to come out of America. I have a question. In Noah's day, in Noah's culture, was there any hope for the people outside of Noah?
No. No.
It was set for wrath.
There were eight people.
It was set for wrath. It was set for wrath.
There were eight people that had a chance.
Amen. So there's no hope for America or the world. The only hope is the people come out of the world.
Yes.
And God's only chosen nation was Israel. Still is. God has his eye on Israel. But you know what's a glorious thing? Go read Romans 11. Paul says, because God was so loving and merciful, he grafted us Gentiles in.
Yes.
You're black, I'm white, the yellow Chinese man, I don't care if you're red, pink, purple. We're all brothers. Let me correct that. We're all brothers as far as the human race, because
yes,
we all come from one parent. But to be spiritual brothers, we must be born again in Jesus Christ. Okay. So Paul says God allowed the Gentiles to come in. I love that. And so I get to go out and preach to the world that Christ came and made the way for us. And we go into the world and they call the police on us. When I stand here preachfully on a public sidewalk, they call. I've been beat
I'm
up.
I'm surprised those preachers didn't put you off the ground.
Well, I was on public sidewalk.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, I never. Joe, I learned early. I used to go on their grounds and talk about the Bible. They throw me off instantly.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I stand on a public sidewalk. 2 weeks ago, we stood outside of a non-denominational church on the public sidewalk. One of their pastors came out. He said, what are you doing out here? I said, I'm preaching the gospel, warning people about this false religious system. He goes, what's false about us? I said, this. And I said, I got a testing on the internet. Look it up. Next thing he says, Joe, you need to get off our property. I said, I'm on a public sidewalk, sir. He goes, how do you know where the right-of-way starts? I said, well, why don't you call a surveyor and the police officer, and I'll move, and I'll adjust, and get right on public sidewalk. They hate, just like in
of
Jesus'
course.
Day.
The truth.
Who killed Jesus? Well, who wanted him dead?
That's it.
The Jews.
That's
the Romans
right.
carried it out.
Yes.
But the Jews were the ones who said, crucify him. Because he came in righteousness and truth and called them out. And I love to teach people this. They say, wow. They say, you are so bold and you are so contentious for the truth and you're calling out sin. I said, I have a question for you. They said, what? I said, who's the greatest man that ever lived per Jesus? Jesus said, John the Baptist was the greatest man that ever lived. And I said, I have another question for you. How did John the Baptist die? And I tell him, and I go, he died calling out the king's sin. The king married his brother's wife. That was against Torah law. You can't do that. They threw him in jail, and John the Baptist, the greatest man that ever lived, got his head cut off calling out sin.
That's right.
Yet the pastors today are too afraid. I've had pastors, Joe, admit to me, ready? I've had them admit to me, what you're saying is true. I can't refute it in the Bible. But if I preach that, I'll empty my building.
That's exactly right.
I'll empty my building.
And I have this. This is my theory on this. Let's say you got three churches right here in a row. There's 1,000 cars there, 500 here, and 25 right there.
Yeah.
Those people down here, they are being taught the truth.
Maybe, yeah.
That's the unadulterated truth.
Could possibly.
But these people are trying to keep that money coming in.
Wherever the numbers are, beware.
They're going to say what these people want to hear.
Yeah, Luke 16 says, whatever the world esteems highly, God abhors.
God, thank you.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. Maybe you can help me. Maybe you can correct me. But you'd probably be part of it if you knew of it. I've traveled the country for years, and people tell me, well, you don't belong to a church. And I said, I belong to the one body of Christ.
Right.
I said, it's scattered all over the world.
Yes.
They said, you need to belong to a Bible, good Bible church. And I said, show me one. Joe, I've been making this claim for years. Show me one. Oh, my Baptist church. They keep pagan holidays, they're feminized,
right.
They have a false gospel.
My
non-denominational, they keep pagan holidays, they're feminized. Oh, this cult over here, no, they have a different Jesus. In the years I've been doing this, Joe.
They got music, they raffle tickets.
Nobody's been able to show me anybody that gathers in a building, ready, that is either fully biblical, okay, I get it, we all could miss something and come fall short, or they want to be.
Thank you.
They don't want to be.
They're comfortable there.
They're comfortable.
Because nobody's telling them about their sins or the things that they're doing wrong.
Exactly. Exactly.
And they don't know, and they don't want to be told.
They don't
not
know.
Really.
Yeah, they don't want to know. Yeah, we get that a lot. People say, oh, you told me stuff I can't unhear now. It's like, yeah. You got to deal with it now because you're guilty before it. You're guilty. Every time you practice Christmas, I hope you're convicted. You're doing it at the same time with the Roman Catholics who killed millions of Christians.
That's right. You are so true.
Yeah, and the Word of God teaches all this, and it's not hard. If people would say, let me study the Word of God and test everything, if they would, they'd go, oh my, I can't fellowship there. Here's the problem. Fellowship has become idolatry in America. Everybody wants friends, coffee time. That literally, Joe, ready? You're going to laugh. They actually have in churches, pastors of the coffee bar. I'm not kidding you, Joe. They got pastors of technology, the guy that runs all the high-tech stuff. They got pastors of coffee bars.
I know. Listen,
they've merged Starbucks and the so-called Church of God. Wickedly, they've done.
First lady. They got a first lady in some churches.
I noticed the black churches do that a lot. Why is that, sir?
I can't answer
I don't
that.
See it in the white churches. I don't care if anybody's yellow, purple,
I can't answer that. I don't know.
But yeah, it's weird.
I came up with that.
Yeah.
Mothers of the church.
And they dress like peacocks.
Yes.
Showing themselves off.
Yes.
We're supposed to be shamefast.
Yes.
Our clothing is a sin covering. We're not to be showing our bodies off. Women's heads are to be covered. We're to come out of the culture. We're to desire holiness. These things like, ready? This is a big one, sports. I've lost more brothers. Well, they said they were brothers. I don't believe they are, over sports.
Yeah.
They tell me, well, we can watch football.
Yeah.
And I said, I have a question for you. Is it good? Is it pure? Is it true? Is it worthy? Is it noble? Philippians 4:8. Well, no. Would Jesus go and sit and watch the violence? Here's what it is. It's violent. It's covetous. It's immodest. It's full of pride. Mm-hmm. It's linked to drinking, sex, and LGBT and abortion rights.
You got it.
And you're there promoting it?
You got it.
Why don't you stand outside and preach the gospel? I've been to the Super Bowl twice. When we were down in Florida last, not this year, and the year before we didn't go, but the 2 years before that. You know what I always tell people? This is an amazing thing to me. We went to the Super Bowl. I had more people at the Super Bowl, my wife included, thanking me, shaking my hand. I got a couple of hugs. And no one called the police on me.
Mm-hmm.
When I go to the religious places, they call the cops and want to beat me up all the time. I'm telling you, we preached in Tampa. It was right after COVID. The stadium was way over there, and they had a chain link fence around the stadium. All the cops were in the chain link fence, okay? And my wife and I are walking around the stadium, and I just go with my wife. I got a wife to worry about. Me, I could care less. You beat me up, cut me in pieces, I don't care. I got a wife to look after. We're walking around preaching. Man, there's prostitutes walking around. There's gangbangers, guys with gold teeth. There's drug addicts. And I turned to my wife and I said, just so you know, did you notice something? The Super Bowl in Miami we went to, safest place I've ever been to. There was 3 cops for every 10 people. I mean, it was just cops everywhere. I said, did you notice, honey? She said, what? I said, the cops are all outside the fence. I said, if there's trouble, I said, just run. I said, the cops ain't coming to help us.
That's it.
And do you know, though, we had more people thank us for caring about them, going, telling them the truth, giving out gospel cards, than at the religious places they hate the truth of God. What fruit is that?
Sometimes I think about this world. Sometimes I think about these churches. Same-sex marriage.
Oh.
I mean, they condone all of this crap that's going on.
Yeah. You know what's going to come next, Joe? I'm not a prophet, but I'm going to predict something. In the years to come, it won't be long. You know this 501c3 rating where you get to keep all your money tax-free?
Yeah.
The government is going to say, you get to be 501c3. You got to marry and allow homosexuals.
Probably.
And most of these churches are going to fold to it. Most of them all are going to fold to it because they go, we got to have our money.
Yeah.
When they don't need a building, they don't need parking lots, they don't need widescreen TVs, they don't need pastors of coffee bars. They need to preach the gospel and call people to repentance. But they're not born again themselves. The pastors are trained in what's called, I call them cemeteries, the seminaries, which teach you more about marketing and money. They teach you more about marketing and money than they do about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's amazing. Wow, you've really blessed me today. I saw you out here, and I said, there's a man out fishing enjoying the day. I'm going to go over there and bless him with the gospel. A lot of times people get mad or they're very mean or whatever, and I just go, okay, and I walk away. You bless me today.
I love hearing it.
You bless me today, man. I thank you so much.
I learn. I want to know. There's a whole lot I don't know. I want to know.
Awesome.
I study.
Open the scriptures. You know, you call me. I'll Bible study with you, man.
That sounds
I'll Bible
good
study
to me.
With you. You want encouragement? I'll encourage you every day with a text. You text?
Yes, I do.
You can send me an email. And then I'll send you my cell phone text. You can text me. We can study the Word of God together. You can ask me questions. Here's another thing that I think makes a biblical man of God totally different. Ready? You go to a modern pastor and you start asking him questions about his doctrine. Who you question?
Yeah.
What are you asking for? You need to just go along. You're being contentious. You can go read any one of my articles and you can go test me the Word of God. And if I got something wrong, Joe, you call me, you email me, you text me. We'll go over it. If I got it wrong, I'm going to repent. I'm going to get it right. You know why? This ain't about my pride. This ain't about me.
Right.
This is about the glory of God and
glory
his truth.
God.
And that's the fruit you have the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
That's the fruit you have the Holy Spirit. So I'm there for anybody that wants to go to the scriptures and really strive in the things of God.
Yes.
So you send me an email and I'd love to encourage you.
I certainly will. You'll hear from me.
I'd love to. That'd be awesome.